Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Good evening, everybody. Hannah Stanley here, filling in tonight for Amy Guth. What a pleasure it is to be back with you guys. I was able to sit in for Dave Plyer last, technically this week, because it was the very beginning of Sunday. So now I get to bookend this week, Sunday, and close to the end of Saturday. So thanks so much for having me back. Hey, David Jennings.
Yes.
12 to 18 feet waves. Is that what you just said on
Lake
Michigan?
Mm-hmm.
12 to 18 feet.
Mm-hmm. That's why the Lakeshore flood warning is in effect.
18 feet
mm-hmm.
is really a big wave.
Mm-hmm.
That's oceany type. That's bad ocean wave.
Do you come down the drive on your way in?
No, unless major things happen.
I did on the bus this afternoon, and it's like, I'm looking at the water as we're going by, and I'm like, No, I don't think I want to be out there in a boat right now.
Yeah, no.
No, it would have to be a larger yacht. A sailboat, no thanks. Okay?
No, and there's not a ton of larger yachts around here.
Oh, there are.
Well,
if you look in the right places, you'll find them around.
I know, but I'm thinking like when you go to Nassau, those are big. But
50-footer, you know.
Yeah. Some
heft to it.
If you
know?
Like that sort of thing. A staff of six plus, that's fine.
I don't need that many people.
Okay.
I'm easier to get along with, you know?
So I used to live right next to where we're moving, where WGN Radio is moving across the river. I used to live next door to that building and I could see the lake. And
I used to live diagonally across the street from that same building, because I was right across the street from the firehouse next to the Fairmont Hotel.
Okay, so you were in the building next door to me. Okay, so yeah, we had this great view of the lake, but there would be days where I would wake up
That was before the aqua went up.
Yeah, so you
the
now
view
you
doesn't
can't.
Exist anymore.
Mine still did, because I could look straight up Wacker to Navy Pier.
Okay.
So if that unit ever goes, if they take it from apartments to condos, I will jump all over it. It was great. However, I can't afford it. But there would be days where I would wake up and go, oh, this is gnarly, because the sky would be sinking into the lake and mm-hmm. the waves would be crashing into the sky.
It'd be gray and ugly.
Oh,
and
just so gross.
Oh, I was in my unit one night and I just heard this like explosion of glass.
Ooh.
Out of nowhere. And it was one of those very windy nights.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the building I'm in had double-paned windows.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, I should be able to say that. I get paid for a living to do this. It's not like I'm an amateur or something. But anyway, apparently, a building was under construction, and I don't remember if it was Aqua or not, although it was. They were working on it at that time. A piece of wood got blown from there across the street
into
and slammed and bounced off one of my windows and shattered it.
Shattered both of them?
The outer glass pane.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, for a while the next day, it's like I had air conditioning that I didn't need as they replaced that window. It was
weird. Yeah, but then I also lived up north, because everybody who's ever lived in the city has had like three different addresses, right? Because and then we settle down.
But, I live north now too.
All right,
my second place north.
All right, so I was close, like close to you. I think basically you're stalking me. So then I would take the bus, either like the 151 or the 125. I know that's your creepy stalker voice. So I
look over your shoulder.
And occasionally, and you're so creepy. Occasionally, Tom Hush is in the producer booth, like freaking out right now that this is happening. So occasionally, though, the waves would be crashing up onto the beach and then the bike path. But I never really had to deal with the flooding, probably because if it was that bad, I was, taking the red line or something home.
Well, usually see the flooding thing closer to downtown.
Mm-hmm.
You don't usually see it.
Because it's more shallow from the where the lake
like,
is
like
to
Oak
where...
Street, Oak Street Beach on down south. You'd see it down at that end of the drive.
Sure.
Or on the bike path, on the walking path. But not so much as you go
farther north. Because there's more beach, more bike path.
And occasionally, I think I remember riding on the bus, and I'd see the water would be up a little bit higher in Belmont Harbor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know, the
I like that neither one of us have said that we were actually riding the bike on the bike path.
I've done that. I've been a long time since I did.
I've never ridden it.
I have. I've never biked the drive. That's one I would like to try.
That's coming up. Soon.
I just don't know if I'm in shape to do it anymore. It's been a long time.
All right. Well, we can debate that during the commercial break. See what I did there? Hannah Stanley. And by the way, if you go on to WGN Radio, you can click a little WGNRadio.com, watch live. There's a button there. You can actually watch me and David Jennings up in the newsroom on 7 and Tom Hush in the producer's booth, and then a tiny mini me who came to hang out tonight in studio as well. Miss Preston Stanley is here with me hanging out. And it is possible we will play a game of Are You Smarter Than a First Grader? We don't know. That we have, Tom and I have like 3 hours of content and 2 hours of show. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Amy Guth on WGN. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Amy Guth. You know, when you work with a producer like a Tom Hush, who's now shaking his head at me.
I'm blushing.
You say, I want to talk about the Houseware show. And then in your brain, you think, I wonder what song we should play for that. And then you don't say that out loud. And then he comes up with this. That's fantastic.
They pay me the big bucks here.
I know.
What can I say?
That's good work out of you, Tom. So the Houseware show, which I go to every single year, was just a couple, 2-3 weeks ago, a little bit longer than that. But still, I love it. And one of the things I love most, because I am a complete nerd when it comes to, like, I love filling in for Frank Fontana because I get to talk about all kinds of houseware, gadgety type stuff. This is where I get to see all of that stuff every year. Here's what's trending and I'm super, super, super excited about. Diffusers. I'm not really all that excited about it. I thought it was very interesting to see. Do you have a diffuser, Tom? Wait, why is your mic not on?
There we go.
There you are.
I personally do not have a diffuser.
I don't either.
But I know people who do have diffusers, and it's weird how much it's taken off. Now, just to make sure I know what I'm talking about here, this is the little thing that you put essential oils in, and it diffuses them into the air and gets rid of headaches, helps you sleep better, whatever.
I am incredibly impressed with how well you described that. That is exactly what it is. It would put you in mind of like a tiny humidifier that smells good. So you can put essential oils in it, and there's companies that sell these, and you can do kind of like candle parties that were the huge thing in the 90s. Now they have like oil parties. And so you can get lavender and eucalyptus. And they have these essential blends that supposedly like fight off illness and infection and germs and all kinds of things. And, you know, like if you have influenza, you can, you know, keep the diffuser by you and no one else will get it, whatever. I knew that this was a thing. I did not know it was going to be such a thing. It's so mainstream now. What used to be in like the good smelling aisles at Whole Foods, you know, by the natural soap, it was in all three of the halls. Let me explain this too. The International Home and Houseware Show takes place at McCormick Place. It is a huge thing for Illinois. It is a great win that we have this convention here. It is three convention halls. It is huge. It's almost four because there's this international section that I had never gone to until this year. And I walked the whole thing and like broke out in a sweat because it was so big. It's crazy huge. So there's the lakeshore side. Hall, and then there's the North and South Hall, and they're both packed. I don't know how you'd be able to even just casually walk. It's like the Smithsonian of houseware stuff. You can't possibly see it all. But in every single area I was, including the international area, diffusers. Like all types of sizes, all kinds of, they had diffusers for kids that were, you know, things that they would like that were licensed and branded. That was the big thing that I saw as the number one trend. The second thing I saw everywhere was pink salt.
Now, what I feel like I've seen pink salt around. Like, yeah. I think one of my roommates, is it a cooking salt?
Yes.
Okay. So it's,
but used so for much the food. More. So much more. Have you ever heard of a salt cave?
I mean, I can imagine what a salt cave might look okay. like.
All right. So there's a couple of different ways. Salt caves could be where they're mining the salt. That's not what I'm talking about. There are salt caves that are popping up everywhere. I have been to one called the Salt, I think it's the Salt Escape out in Batavia. Great. You go in, you sit there for an hour, you sit in these zero gravity chairs, and this is very similar for all of them. It's not just this one place. And you just kind of zone out. There are crushed pink salts, Himalayan pink salt, all over the floor. You walk around in white socks. And then you sit down, and apparently there's walls with bricks of pink salt, and the air is super ionized because of the salt, and you feel amazing.
So, I mean, do you feel more awake or do you just feel better?
I've had this happen two times. One time I went to a place that had a salt cave for a treatment for something else, happened to have a sinus infection. And within 5 minutes of sitting there waiting for my treatment, my sinuses cleared up. And I went, why did my sinuses clear up? And she goes, oh, it's the salt cave. You should go in. And I was like, yeah, but I have an appointment. And then the other, whenever I went 2-3 months ago, I had what I felt was a sinus infection. Went in, sat in there, and felt amazing when I came out.
So now you can you bring the experience of being in one of these pink salt caves home? Like, do you just bring
similar.
It home?
There's okay. many different applications for what I was seeing with the salt. So there is pink salt lamps, and you can also get like gray salt lamps, same benefits, just different colorations. But what it does is the salt, you can either have like pieces of salt around a light bulb and it glows and it's really pretty. Very lovely. Not great to read by, right? But, you know, still fine. And what it does is it apparently releases the ions into the air, blah, blah, blah. And there's something having to do with the type of salt having the same kind of minerals that your plasma does. These are things that I'm not totally clear on. But then you can also, there's like a piece of salt that would be kind of hollowed out and have the light bulb within it, again, with a glow. You can also cook on it. Really awesome.
When you say cook, so not cook with it, but like cook on it. You
cook heat it on up. Slash with it as okay. if it is the pan. So yes, really? You can heat it up. You can put it in your oven and then put items on top of it and then it cooks through that.
And it's you get those same ions, but now in the food.
Yeah, but you also infuse that really good saltiness.
Okay.
It's so yummy.
I mean, where do I purchase it? Do I need a salt guy?
I want to go to there.
Do I need to know some guy in Beverly that just has, you know, bags of salt?
That's the thing. You can start buying them everywhere. Again, with the Whole Foods, right? This is something that was kind of like, I don't know. I think you can cook on it. I'm not totally sure. Now it's becoming incredibly mainstream. And the other thing is you sort of just wipe it. You don't have to clean it because if you washed it, it would dissolve. So it's really this kind of neat thing where it's all natural and holistic and fancy.
2018 is such a magical year. We've got diffused lavender and pink salt that I can cook a steak on.
I know. Those were the two things. And then do you know what the color of the year is? This was a big story a couple weeks ago.
Oh, hit me.
Ultraviolet.
Oh, good. Something I can't see. Color of the year. It's imperceptible to the human mind, it's there.
It's infrared. That was the other thing. Infrared saunas. This is so basically the biggest trend I saw at the houseware show, holistic type ways to soothe yourself, pamper yourself. So in essential oil diffusing, in salt lamping type stuff and salt cooking, Himalayan pink salt. And
what's
then
the sodium
infrared.
Content in that salt, out of curiosity?
Well, it's
but we're not
just
ingesting
salty.
It, so it doesn't matter.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
even,
no.
Even if you're using it as a diffuser, it...
No, because we're not diffusing the salt. What we're doing is we're heating the pieces of salt with the light bulb, and so it's like releasing ions.
Okay.
But you're not... because you're not ingesting it, none of the sodium.
Oh, okay.
How soon are we going to see Morton's pink salt?
Oh, already.
Are they already doing it?
Yeah, because I use like pink salt to actually cook with as seasoning.
Okay.
Then that would have sodium content. But that would be similar
And taste-wise, where is it at?
All right. And then I know we have to get to break. You can get different salt flavoring. And this is not what I saw at the Houseware Show. Although they did have people who were dealing with salt for finer home goods stores. But you can get like even a gray salt or different types of pink salt. And because of the mineral content, they actually do have either like, let's say, a smokier flavor or a brinier flavor. So you can get things that would be a little bit different than just iodized table salt. But... it's nothing like if you and I are sitting there and I was like, here, try the pink salt. You won't be like, wow, it tastes so pink that you wouldn't. If I handed you two plates, one that had pink salt and one that had regular Morton's table salt, you could not tell the difference flavor wise.
Interesting.
But if you go for like super gourmet expensive, like if we were going to go to Alinea tonight for dinner.
Okay.
And they would say, oh, this is a smoked blah, 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 something or another salt from, you know, I don't know, Tibet. And I'd go, okay.
Well, I am a fan of Tibetan salt. That's all I use at home. No Epsom salt either. I just bathe in Tibetan salt. It's very hard to get.
It is. It's expensive, but it's worth it. Your skin glows. I want to get you guys to the news, but first I have to get you guys to the break. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Amy Guth. We're going to come back after the news and talk about the McCormick Foundation and that gem of the Western suburbs, Cantini. More after this on WGN. Good evening. Welcome back. This is WGN Radio. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight. Joining me right now, I can't explain to you how many layers of really intrigue this interview holds for me. I grew up out in the Wheaton area. And as I've mentioned before, my grandfather worked for WGN. So I was very, very familiar with Colonel McCormick all through my life. And of course, Cantini Park and Museum out there in the Wheaton area. So now I have the honor of introducing Phil Zepeda, who is the Director of Communications for the Robert McCormick Foundation, to talk to us about, I can't believe this, it is the 100th anniversary of the Battle of Cantini.
It is. It is indeed coming up at the end of May. It's good to be with you to talk about that a little and Colonel McCormick's legacy, Cantini, and what he felt about Chicago and Chicagoland.
It is really fascinating. I grew up calling it Cantigny because that's how it's spelled.
So did everybody.
And my grandfather, who had far more knowledge of this, kept saying it's Cantini. And we were like, yeah, whatever. And then now we became more educated.
We constantly tell people, have the opportunity to say, it's actually named after a town in France. Mm-hmm. That was the first battle that the American forces found themselves involved in World War One. But then we go back to say, hey, you call it what you wanted to, that the memories are more important.
Yes.
of what you have with your family and friends for your time here. But yeah, the meaning of Cantini goes way back, decades to America's first battle in World War One.
It's incredible that it has been 100 years already. But what is even more remarkable to me is how diverse and robust the experience you can have at Cantini is. Just lovely, lovely grounds, the museum, military history. You guys have events out there all the time. It is a wonderful place to visit.
Yeah, well, thank you for that endorsement of another Wheaton resident.
Yes.
Cantini is very special, and again, I worked there, but I grew up in the southwest suburbs of Chicago, going to Cantini with my family for family reunions and picnics and such, and it still offers that experience for so many more families and residents. To this day, what Cantini is able to do is share Colonel McCormick's property, 600 plus acres in DuPage County, just north of I-88 at Winfield Road, that he left in his last will and testament for the people of Illinois. It is your public park. So people that are visitors that come to there and our guests can experience acres of gardens and, as you mentioned, a military museum, the 1st Division Museum, the 1st Infantry Division was the division in which Colonel McCormick fought in, America's 1st Division in World War I, and then walking paths and trails and an education center and classes in the summer. It's outdoor concerts and so many other just connections with nature that individuals and families can have. And then that's the park property. Mm-hmm. And then there's a 27-hole championship golf course on the other side of yes. Cantini, which many people are familiar with as well, too. So it offers a little something for really everyone.
It really is a beautiful, lovely area. Over the past decade or so, there have been so many improvements in that area for traffic because of population growth, et cetera. And it has done nothing to detract, everything to enhance that area, make it really easy to navigate in and out of. And I highly endorse people go spend a lovely spring, summer, fall day out there.
Yeah, and you know, Hannah, the park is in midway, almost midway, through a multi-year, multi-million dollar revitalization project, which we call Project New Leaf. It has certain parts of the park have been closed for a revitalization, and this is everything from improving the walking paths and the parking lot to our facilities to including really finalizing the garden design, which had never really been finished from the original garden designer, Franz Lipp. We're taking those steps to do those types of things and create new vistas and really tailor with great precision what the gardens and the experiences look like and feel like. We brought in a firm named Sasaki and Associates, which also did the Chicago River Walk. And they're out of Boston, but they are internationally known for their work on landscape design. So we're taking great care and being very thoughtful and deliberate in this work. The park remains open through all this construction and such that's happening, even with weddings and mm-hmm. with banquets and other things that are continually happening. And we're excited that there's two things coming up in the very near future, hopefully right after Mother's Day. We're going to be reopening an expanded playground for kids. We've had a playground there, too, but this new one is just going to be a huge attraction for families with small children and such. And then later in July, the gardens will completely reopen, and they will be available for tours and really seeing the great work of our horticulture team, what they've been able to manage and curate through this construction process, and give folks a glimpse of what it's going to look like in the months and years to come.
Well, sitting in one of the pride and joys of Colonel McCormick's legacy, which is, of course, Tribune Tower, for the remaining few months while we get to stake claim as our home here, I would think that having you guys pay such detailed attention to the landscape, given the city of Chicago is so prominently known for our landscape architecture, that seems very, very fitting.
Certainly. And, you know, even when Robert McCormick was running the Tribune, right, you know, after he took over in 1910, and the Tribune then, at that time, was not in the building that it is now. He wanted to make sure that the home of the Chicago Tribune was in a magnificent facility and a world-renowned, recognized, highly recognized facility and building. So he launched a contest, an international design contest, and the actual selection of the firm was selected was Howells and Hood, mm-hmm. which is actually the name of the restaurant
yes.
that's now on the in the main floor. But that's a tribute to that firm and to that architectural concept and contest that happened to design just a magnificent facility. And of course, it's been expanded over the years and remodeled and updated and such. But as you know, when you step into that lobby, you go back in time
oh.
and you see the quotes and the respect that's paid to First Amendment rights and the freedom of the press and the freedom of speech. And it really is a testament to who McCormick was, and attaches that spirit to architecture and design in a most magnificent way.
Yes. Also, support of our military. There are two plaques in our lobby on either side as you walk towards the back where the elevators are.
Right.
One, World War II employees of the Tribune that fought in World War I, and then there is another one closer to the studios. Wait, I'm backwards. The World War I is next to the studios, but on the left side of our lobby is the World War II plaque. My grandfather, as I mentioned, was an employee, and his name is on there, so I go past it. It looks like Lincoln's nose by now because I've rubbed it so much. I rub his name in the plaque. But I have encouraged people who are taking pictures of, the fascinating stonework that's within the architecture outside of all
right.
of the relics from around the world. I've encouraged them to walk in this lobby. It is open to the public, and it is magnificent.
Yeah, it's truly something not to be missed. Not just for people visiting Chicago. It's for people who live in Chicago and who may miss just a wonderful architectural gem like that building. And it, as you mentioned, there are pieces of world famous. Other locations.
Yes, the Parthenon.
And other facilities and
yes.
buildings. Yes, that are built into the facade of the building, and it's just great to go up and look at. And in some cases, if you're not height challenged, you can actually touch and feel, something from the Vatican or the Parthenon, as you mentioned, or the pyramids in Egypt. He wanted to bring that spirit and that international connection to Chicago.
It is amazing. Phil Zepeda, who is joining me, director of communications from the McCormick Foundation. We are going to continue talking to you because, of course, as I mentioned, and as you will be talking about, the 100-year anniversary of the Battle of Cantigny, which was very crucial point in Colonel McCormick's life, and then all of the things going on around that, and really more of the work of the McCormick Foundation as it continues through the years, his legacy. That will be next on WGN Radio. Hannah Stanley filling in. I will be back right after this. Welcome back, WGN Radio. Hannah Stanley with you. Pleased to be here. I am thrilled to continue my interview with Phil Zepeda, the Director of Communications for the McCormick Foundation. Believe it or not, it is the 100-year anniversary of Battle of Cantigny. That will be next month, I believe, at the end of May, I think, Phil, you said.
Yeah, it's actually on Memorial Day is the date that the battle actually began, and there's events right here in the Chicago area as well over in Cantigny, France, for which Cantigny Park gets its name.
Of course it does. Tell me a little bit, if you will, what Cantigny is doing to commemorate this.
So Cantigny, as you mentioned in the first part of the interview, we are part of the Robert R. McCormick Foundation, and Cantigny Park was once the home of Colonel Robert McCormick, the benefactor of our foundation and such. And he was so dedicated to the nation's military and our veterans after his experience in World War I that he came back after that experience and renamed the family farm, this residence out in Wheaton, which was previously known as Red Oaks Farm. He renamed it Cantigny in honor of the men who fought that battle in World War I, and never throughout the remainder of his life until he passed away in 1955 lost sight of the importance of the men and women who give their lives for this country and serve this country, as well as the freedoms we protect. So that's a thread that McCormick held very close to his work, and it's a thread that we carry through our mission work in the foundation and our philanthropy today.
It is, it's fascinating to have so many relics and so many pieces of history contained out there. You're driving down, you know, Roosevelt Road, no big deal, and then poof, there it comes. You have this lovely, lovely park that happens to also be a military museum. Tell me more, if you will, Phil, about the Robert R. McCormick Foundation and the work you guys have been able to continue and will continue.
Sure. So, after Colonel McCormick's death in 1955, Cantini became a public park left for the people of the state of Illinois, and shortly thereafter opened a military museum dedicated to the 1st Infantry Division. That was the division which Colonel McCormick fought in. And that museum still operates today, and it underwent a massive renovation in the early 90s, where we had a new facility built for it. And so the 1st Division Museum is a facility at Cantini Park that contains the entire history of the 1st Infantry Division. Many people know Cantini for the tanks. You know, oh, yes. there's this beautiful gardens and wooded area, and there's a collection of tanks that kids can climb up on and such. And some people may think that that's a glorification of the military and such. If anything, it's meant to be a fragile reminder of humanity and how close and how important we must stay committed to engendering peace and peace through nations and such. So, but the 1st Infantry Division, many people also call it a war museum. It's actually more like an anti-war museum. It's dedicated to veterans and the 1st Infantry Division and telling the story about the greatest sacrifice that so many people have given in defending our nation's freedoms. One side of the facility actually takes you through a narrative of the 1st Infantry Division from World War I into World War II. Then you are learning about their activities and where they were placed and stationed and such, and taking you finally through Vietnam, which prior to everything that was happening in the Middle East, beginning in the 90s, and then after the turn of the century, that was the history of the 1st Division through those major battles and such. The other side of our facility at the 1st Division Museum underwent a massive update, and where we were able to tell the story of the 1st Infantry Division in a different way, not so much in a narrative, but rather the different roles that the 1st Infantry plays now during wartime or in peacetime, whether it's peacekeeping missions or counterintelligence. And it's really injected technology into telling that story, virtual reality, and being able to interact with soldiers, men and women, who serve in the 1st Infantry to hear their stories and understand their sacrifice in defending the freedoms of our nation. So it's Cantini Park offers this to people, and it's such a tremendous experience that visit to that facility alone is a day trip in itself, when Cantini offers so much more than that as well. But that's pretty much the crown jewel of the property.
I have not been there since this has been updated, and I'm really, really excited to get a chance to get out there.
Yeah, you should. You know, it's you can't breeze through the facility and feel like you've actually been able to interact with it in like 45 minutes or an hour. It's something that you really need to invest your day in. And when I say your day, come out and plan to spend a couple of hours of touring through the museum and engaging with as many of the exhibits and the technology as much as you possibly can, because it does it in a very interactive and engaging way and tells a thoughtful story. And it doesn't matter if you're 9 or 90, the what you will take away from that will be immense.
This is fascinating. Please tell me how people can get more information and make their plans.
Sure. So come out, or get online, visit Cantini.org. You'll find out all about the 1st Division Museum. You'll also find out about our gardens. We have maps online, all the events that happen out of the park, which include on Memorial Day weekend, specifically on Memorial Day, but there's events all Memorial Day weekend. It's a commemoration and observance for the 100 years since the Battle of Cantini started. There are family-friendly events. We are looking to make this solemn remembrance, mm-hmm. but something that everyone can interact with and enjoy their time out at the park. So Cantini.org is where you want to go, and that'll have all the information for you. We'll be building out in the next several weeks some additional pages with further information about the history and the fast facts around the Battle of Cantini and how truly it was the first battle for the American forces found themselves in World War II, but it really saved the world from tyranny.
Fascinating stuff. I can't wait to get out there. I will look for you when I go. Phil Zepeda, Director of Communications from the Robert R. McCormick Foundation. I'm so happy that I got to sit in this building and have this conversation with you. Thank you so much.
Well, likewise. Thank you. The pleasure was all mine.
All right. You have a great night. Hannah Stanley, this is WGN Radio. Colonel McCormick's very own WGN Radio. Back right after this.
I'm leaving on a jet plane, don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go.
WGN Radio, Hannah Stanley with you. Who out there is Illinoid? Let me tell you. By the way, thank you so much to Amy Guth for having me sit in tonight, and happy birthday to her. Yesterday was her birthday. Tom Hush. Working with me tonight, and I love it. I always love when I get to work with Tom. This is very interesting because this has been going on for longer than we might have realized. But there is I don't think it's hyperbole to say a mass exodus.
I'd say it pretty much hits the nail on the head.
Yeah, of people leaving our state. This is an editorial that is a multi-part editorial by the Chicago Tribune on the 12th. So today's the 14th. So it was 2 days ago that came out. So it would have been Thursday's Chicago Tribune was what, their second or third part of this editorial series, talking with what would we call them, expats? I mean, they haven't left the country, but they've left our state. Exiles. So they're exiling. Wow, that works on so many levels.
It's almost like they pay you to do this.
So close. it's maybe next week. So there is the problem is not that people are leaving, but more people are leaving each year. And so at some point, you understand why factories have closed, jobs have moved out of the state, things like that. But there gets to the point where you're like, no, we have a bigger issue. This is systemic. What is happening? So, Tom, when you and I were talking about this, I did a quick Google search, and the lovely man who is Phil Rosenthal wrote about this. Let me confirm the date on this. January of 2015. He wrote how we have a big problem. That was 3 years and 4 months ago. And the numbers have gotten worse. So the story, the editorial that was published on Thursday, rates our loss for last year as 33,703 people have left the state of Illinois. a lot of people, they're actually interviewing, like I said, the exiles, ex-Illinois people, some of them who were natives, and then some of them who moved here after college because Chicago or a great job, and then realized they couldn't make ends meet like they could in other places. Tom, you're a native.
Yeah, so I was born here in the city of Chicago. I was born actually at Northwestern, mm-hmm. and spent a good portion of my youngest years here. Did a little around the world traveling, and but pretty much grew up in Crystal Lake, Illinois.
Mm-hmm. I would
say, that's what I would say is about, that's my hometown. So not part of the city of Chicago itself, but from a town that's heavily affected by what is happening in Chicago, but and also the whole state as a, you know,
so
as an
I mean
entity.
Technically, because that's McHenry, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Crystal Lake. So it's considered a collar county,
right? And really just barely considered, right. Chicago. Like when people ask me where are you from, I really have to be stretching it to say Chicago, because I love McHenry County. I love Crystal Lake. But it is not, decidedly not Chicago.
For sure not.
Even for like these really close suburbs.
No, I did a comedy show out there at the Rao Center last night.
I used to work there when I was 15.
And I think everybody who works here who lives in Crystal Lake used to work at the Rao Center. It's a great facility. And actually, Rita Rudner is going to be there.
It's
speaking
wild.
Speaking of female comedy, she's amazing. So that's going to be on May 12th. So go see her because I'll be there too. But we were all the comedians were joking like, this is so far.
Yeah.
It's so far.
I mean, we get by because there's a metro line. But,
absolutely. And that's why, I mean, you know, especially like the Fox Valley area, you've got Geneva, Batavia, St. Charles, et cetera. All of that now is still considered Chicagoland because people commute every single day back mm-hmm. and forth. But still, what's going on is we're seeing people for sure fleeing the city because schools. Mm-hmm. Taxes. I don't know. I'm just going to throw out corruption. And then so much more for your money, more bang for your buck, the further north, south, west you go. Even east, because you head into Indiana and those taxes just plummet.
Right. And being a young person who I went to school here in Chicago and I decided to stay. I wanted to make my beginnings of a career here, beginnings of a life here, but they certainly don't cut you a break. I know a lot of surrounding states, even surrounding counties, are really trying to pull young people out of Chicago. They're telling you, hey, you don't have to rent anymore. With your income, you might be able to buy, and you might be able to actually start the beginnings of building one's wealth and starting a life like that. So they really are targeting people in that millennial age range who are dissatisfied with having to rent and just scrape by because we want to live in a hub of many things, culture. Some there are lots of jobs here, although some are leaving. They really don't make it easy for a young person to live in Chicago.
No, they really don't. And even in the suburbs, you know, DuPage County, King County, McHenry County, the taxes that we pay on land, you know, and living here are exorbitant. They're, mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes 3 to 4 times other states and more, depending on the state you're comparing it with. The same article I was referencing before, which is a 3-year-old article from Phil Rosenthal, not because I'm going to old information, but merely to demonstrate the fact that this has been going on for so long. United Van Lines said it moved, which of course is the movers, moved more households out of Illinois last year. So that would have been 2014. Than any other state, followed by Pennsylvania, New York, and Michigan. Michigan, we know, was having a super hard time economically and is still pulling themselves out of it. But man, if you want to buy a gorgeous home for like $20, go to the Detroit area. There, it's amazing.
It's all there.
And Illinois was number 3 for United Van Lines, trailing New York and New Jersey. So Allied Van Lines, Illinois was number 1. United Van Lines, it was number 3. But what are we seeing in all of those states that are headlining that list? Incredibly high density metropolitan states, people are like, you know what? There's more to it. And other states are offering better things. You know, there's culture in other states and other cities. You don't just have to be New York, LA, Chicago anymore.
Right. We do come from a fairly, I don't know, urban centric sort of way of thinking. And so, I mean, especially when you do come from even somewhere as close to Chicago as Crystal Lake, it's hard not to dream a little bit about, oh, the big city, Chicago, where it's happening.
Yeah.
And then you get here and you're like, wow, this is really great. And then you look in your wallet and you're like, oh, this is not so great.
Oh, yeah,
this,
no.
You know, this $20, say, used guess to what? Stretch me a lot more when I was in Crystal Lake.
Right. And guess what? Hamilton's going to be in Cleveland. They're still getting it. They're just not getting it as soon. So these are things that we're talking about. I want to know why you're thinking about leaving. It's not just the weather, right? Because before, this is always an arrogance thing, right? You don't like the weather, then go. It's fine. It's, you know, it's something, it's an ego thing for us. Like, well, we can handle it. I got to tell you, I don't know that I can anymore. Why? Why would I want to? There's so many other things wrong with our state that make it harder to deal with the weather. We're going to continue talking about this. If you have opinions on why to stay, on why not to stay, or things that would drive you out, 312-981-7200. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Amy Guth on WGN.
We gotta get out of this place.
Oh, I love this sometimes. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Amy Guth, who might or might not be fleeing the state. We don't know. We're not sure. She didn't tell us why she was taking tonight off, but I did see her with suitcases. We are talking about the mass exodus that we are seeing and experiencing in and out of Illinois. This past year, the Tribune has been doing a multi-part editorial series on this, talking, interviewing with former residents who chose to leave this past year. And this data was published on Thursday. Last year's net loss, so that's, of course, when you, the people who moved in versus the people who moved out, the state lost 33,703 people. I looked back and found a Phil Rosenthal article at the beginning of 2015. I found a Forbes article in January of 2016, which again talked about the National Movers study, but it was a different study. Because it was the following year and the numbers were no better. The majority of Illinois moves, 63.2, are outbound. We're not even balancing it out. It is not good, folks. We've got a couple callers on the line we're going to get to right away. You can join us too. You can either text in to 312-981-7200 or call in as well. Larry, you're on WGN.
Hi, Hannah.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Larry. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I live in McHenry County.
Okay.
And I'm planning on moving out within the next 2 years. My oldest daughter lives on the East Coast. My youngest daughter graduates in May from college, and she's going to end up with a job out of state. I'm a widower, and so it's kind of like I can move to another state and say between $5,000 and $6,000 a year in taxes.
Right.
And the home I live in is just a normal suburban tract home. I mean, it's nothing ostentatious or anything. And it's like, I mean, $5,000 a year. I mean, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, without question.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
And I mean, I basically can live in another state and basically, you know, live there, you know, utility free for the rest of my life. Why would I not do that?
Why wouldn't you? Right. And you can choose to live in a state that does have better weather. So you're not, because as I always tell my husband, you don't have to shovel sunshine. So if you don't move south, you can still move somewhere more temperate and still save a ton of money.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm looking at Knoxville, Tennessee.
That's lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, if I need to get back to Chicago, I mean, they have an airport there. Round trip tickets are like $300, you know, so I can get back to see, you know, my nieces and nephews and stuff. And so it's like, I'm sorry. I mean, I can buy a hell of a lot of airline tickets for $6,000 a year.
More than you would need.
Yes, exactly.
And that's the other thing, too. It's not like you have to be here to fly internationally. It's not like you have to be here to go to great theater or experience. It really has changed over multiple decades, for sure. But, you know, great food is everywhere. And what was really attractive about the three main cities isn't so elite anymore.
I would totally agree.
Larry, I appreciate your call. Why are you waiting 2 years?
I have to fix up the house to sell it.
Gotcha.
Because if I don't fix up the house,
you'll take a loss.
I either pay the money now, or they're just gonna,
You'll lose it in the resale. Back. Sure.
Yeah, and that way I can hopefully enjoy it at least for a little while. But this way, I figure if I fix it up and everything, I can sell it quickly, and it'll make things a lot smoother.
All right. Well, best of luck to you. And I can't agree with you more. It's very, and 33,000 people, almost 34,000 people agree with you from last year as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Add me to the list in a couple of years.
All right. Well, we'll miss you, but you can listen on WGNradio.com.
Yes, I can. Yes.
All right, Larry. Thanks so much for your call.
Evening.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye.
This is, Larry's not alone. My neighbors who just moved in, 7-8 months ago, who are lovely people but came from the state of Minnesota. We talk about this a lot. It was a job transfer. It made sense for them to be here, but between the taxes, and here's the other thing too. One of the things, my husband's not from here. He's from Colorado, just outside of, in Aurora. Actually, everybody knows where Aurora is now. He was shocked by the taxes and by the corruption. In political corruption, not even in Chicago, but in the state, it's systemic. And I used to, I don't know, have a little chip on my shoulder. I was our dysfunction is how we function.
Yeah, it's
how we get things done.
It's always been that kind of narrative about Chicago, and I guess about Illinois at large, where it's kind of like, oh, it's the Chicago way. This is the way everybody. It's to some people, it's like the Untouchables 24/7 here.
Yes,
but,
and there's a little bit of the mythology of that.
Right.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying like, yeah, I'm from the city of broad shoulders. You know, this is how things are. But at some point, and I think a lot of folks are getting to this point, clearly in the last year, almost 34,000 people got to this point where they're just like, I can't take it anymore. This isn't, this isn't TV. This isn't fun for me anymore. This is my life. And while I definitely plan on staying in Chicago myself for quite a while, I think eventually I'll get to that point where I just need to say, just for the weather alone, it's time for me to start walking.
Yeah, it really has gotten to the point where many people, like Larry, who was just our most recent caller to 312-981-7200, are saying that it bleeds you dry. We're not making enough to be able to put enough away to live as comfortably as we would like, compared to doing the same job for maybe even less money. You can still put more away and have better quality of life. We're going to take a quick break. We have callers still coming in. We have texts coming in. That number is 312-981-7200. We are going to get you guys to the news, and then we will probably continue this conversation on being Illinois. Hannah Stanley filling in for Amy Guth. News right after this. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight on WGN for Amy Guth. My thanks to her. Tom, you are just nailing it with the songs tonight. We are wrapping up our conversation on the Illinois exodus because people are Illinoid. Hashtag Illinoid. Let's go to Dan on the phones. We're getting a couple of texts and then we're going to move into our next topic. Dan, what are you doing? You're moving to Boston?
Yep. Pulling the plug on Illinois and moving out to Boston.
Here's the deal. The Patriots are there.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I don't think I'd change my affiliation for that. But
I'm not doing
it for the weather. I'm not doing it for anything like that. I'm just fed up with the corruption. You nailed it earlier. The taxes and the corruption and just the
dysfunction.
The overall disdain for being played as a fool in this state. As a taxpayer,
you know it, It wasn't the corruption that got under my skin so much as the dysfunction that has become so apparent and obvious over the past 5 to 10 years, right? I knew it was there, but it wasn't so much in the forefront because things were still getting done. Now we just are at a stalemate all the time, constantly.
Well, think about the 10.5% tax in the Cook County system several years ago, the soda tax,
yes,
all these failed ways of trying to take your money and do nothing but waste it.
Right.
And that's part of the dysfunction.
The parking meters, now that's Chicago, but still that whole deal left such a bad taste in my mouth.
Right, but this idea of thinking they could just throw these taxes on and we're going to pay them and they're going to waste the money on the dysfunction that you just brought up. On top of that, just trying to put up with, you know, the constant barrage of they make you feel like you're
stupid.
You're a fool.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
So and it's not cheaper and the weather's not better out east, but at least I don't have to look into the eyes of some of these people and think that I know their brother, their father, their you know, I've just had enough.
I know.
I just had enough and I want out.
I don't blame you.
I know a lot of people that feel the same way.
Well, we'll miss you, Dan. But like I said before, WGNradio.com, you can still listen to us. So we appreciate
it. There's no problem there.
All right, Dan, thanks so much for your call. Like I said, we're moving on from this topic, but the smoothest transition in the world. Who's leaving Facebook? It's not just Illinois that's annoying people. It is, in fact, Facebook, very big, smart, high-powered, influential people in the know are suggesting we leave Facebook. Here's the one. I don't care what Gwyneth Paltrow says. I don't care what, like, Jennifer Aniston's shaman tells me. I don't care about that. John Travolta, I don't care. Steve Wozniak, though. I'm all over what Woz says. And Steve Wozniak says, based on the privacy crisis, we need to not only leave Facebook, we need to delete Facebook. Tom Hush, where stands you?
It's tough because the most amazing thing about Facebook, the most amazing and terrifying thing about it, and all social media, for mm-hmm. that matter, all social media, is that it has become an integral part of our social experience. Like, there are people out there that can't even imagine a world without Facebook. I mean, there are kids growing up where this is literally just how people
so
connect.
Facebook existed when you were old enough to get Facebook.
Yeah. So my first social network was MySpace.
Uh-huh.
And I was about middle school when that really exploded. And then when I got to high school, which is about 2008, not to age myself too much, but started high school in 2008.
David Jennings and I just rolled our eyes.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Young and
good Lord.
Yeah.
But yeah, Facebook became a huge thing. And that was like what you did. You're like, oh, you're going to high school. Well, you got to move on from MySpace. You got to get a Facebook. Facebook
well,
is what you do.
Here's the thing. MySpace died, more or less.
Yeah.
So can Facebook. And the thing is, if you watched any part of those congressional hearings, I think the only senator that really got close to what the problem is was Durbin.
Yeah, a lot of those senators had
they don't
no
have a
idea.
Clue.
They have
no,
no
they
idea
don't get
how Facebook
it.
Works.
No, and with good reason. I'm glad they don't, because I would hope that they would be doing other better things with their time than trying to figure out what, you know, the girl they sat next to in chemistry in sophomore year is doing with her life. But
at the very least, they have staff people to help them. I mean,
totally agree.
Somebody give them a prep on, like, this
throw
is,
them a bone.
It's like the Facebook users,
right.
They're the product. That's
yes.
how this works.
The privacy thing definitely bothered me. And I was affected. I was not on whatever, Cambridge Analytica. Mm-hmm. I did not join that. However, somebody I know did.
I had the same kind of message
right.
when I
you
checked.
And I have a lot mm-hmm. of people, similarly, listeners friend us on Facebook. I love talking to people. You know, this is why I do this job. So, of course, I friend people on Facebook and can interact with them that way. One or multiple of them somehow got involved with this. So yes, there's been a breach. I'm not down with that. That's an issue. But I was having an issue with this prior to this. And I told you this off air. My biggest concern with leaving Facebook is not seeing people who I sat next to in chemistry. It is missing the, I guess, blog posting that I've been doing for the last 10 years.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is the platform on which people now share their lives in a time. I mean, I'm lucky to be kind of the age I am because I got to straddle the two eras where when I was really young, my mom would show people photos in photo albums, yes. like actual photo yes. albums. And it's really nice that I can, you know, sometimes I'll go visit home and I'll just crack open a photo album and see all these and be like, wow, this is really great. But it's not that that concept is gone. It's just been completely digitized. And, you know, when signing up for Facebook, you're signing away a lot of things and you're not going to get those photos back unless you saved them somewhere else.
Right. Or you go through them. Yeah. I mean, this is going to be a project for me if I decide to remove myself from Facebook, and I might, then I have to go through and archive all of those pictures that other people have posted that are great pictures, but I knew they would live on Facebook. So I never really took that time. So that's going to be a project. I mean, this is a bigger deal too. Other organizations, companies, corporations are kind of, I guess, getting ahead of the curve. Gmail, which of course is Google's answer to, you know, Gmail, now everybody has Gmail.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's really, really well put together. But now they are including a confidential mode.
But they also track data. They also accumulate
data.
They all
do. That's how they make money.
And Facebook, I was listening to On the Media, and Facebook and Google, according to them, get about 60% of the online advertising business.
Amazing.
So it's as one of the senators at the hearing said, look, if I buy a Ford and I have a bad experience and don't want a Ford, I can buy something else. What's the alternative to Facebook? There isn't one.
No, I mean, technically, you could do Instagram because
it's owned by Facebook.
It's owned by Facebook. Yeah, you're right.
So you're still on Facebook.
Never mind. No, and the other thing that they've gotten very, very good at, and it allows them to infiltrate even more, is allowing you to log on to different sites via Facebook. So they can link you through that way. It saves me from having to remember 87 other passwords. And yet, now I question that even more.
I feel like Michael Corleone in The Godfather Part 3. Every time I try to get out, they bring me back in. They bring me back in.
It's, I don't know. I got to tell you, if Wozniak tells me to do something, I'm pretty much okay with whatever he tells me to do.
Have you seen any of this stuff about the people who say that, in effect, this stuff is social media is turning us into social media junkies?
Without question.
Oh, yeah. It's 100 years of psychological principle behind it. They know how to hook you.
I will tell you, my children, I have this new app called Boomerang, and it allows me, and my daughter's sitting here and she's rolling her eyes because she doesn't like it, but it allows me to remotely shut off their internet access. They can't do anything on their tablet other than like read. And I can grant them blocks of time. My daughter will say, I want to read on this app that's educational. I can see that that's what she's doing. I can see if they try to download an app. But I had to download an app to manage their usage of an app. I'm glad I did. I now know that they're spending 1 hour of screen time instead of like seven. But it really got to the point where I'm like, I need to get on top of this because otherwise their brains are going to be completely addicted to screen time.
Yeah, can you add me to that? Because I think I need to go cold turkey, like Train Spotting style.
I'm doing it right now.
Please shut me off. Give me 1, maybe 2 hours, but you'll start getting texts from me, real desperate. Like, I'll be like, come on, man.
My son literally texted me while I was like, we were during a break, but he was like, my husband was like, Grayson wanted to know if you could grant him a little bit more time.
Welcome to this new dystopian future.
I don't even let my husband do it. He could. I'm like,
well,
nope.
Someone's got to be the king of the castle, and it's Hannah Stanley.
I am the gatekeeper of the online time. I mean, I get it. It's the weekend, but at the same time, I'm like, No. There's better things to be doing. There's books to be read. Definitely don't play outside today. It was very windy. Head injuries abound.
And something else it's done. People don't talk to each other anymore.
Yes. Okay.
There is no direct, you know, you pick up a phone, you'd call someone, right? You talk.
Yes.
Or you'd meet someone somewhere. Well, now you see young people sitting around and they're not talking to each other, but they're sitting together in public texting each other.
I know.
It's like, really?
No, it was very interesting, and I'll end on this because we're going to go to break, and then I believe we're going to play a very, very quick round of Are You Smarter Than a First Grader? Because I happen to have a first grader sitting here. But one of the times when I logged into Facebook, I think it was to post the fact that I was going to be on air tonight, they can you please take this quiz? And I was like, sure, let's see what this is, a survey. Let's see, Facebook, how you're going to try to manage this. And it was, do you feel like Facebook allows you to spend more time, more FaceTime with people? And I was like, no, I don't. It absolutely doesn't. Do you feel like it enhances your interpersonal experiences? No, I get to see pictures of babies I wouldn't probably see otherwise, but no, anyway, Boomerang people, parents, download Boomerang. It's awesome. And it's free. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight for Amy Guth on WGN. Are you smarter than a first grader? After this. All right. It's not totally out for summer yet, but we've got 33 and a half days left. I'm counting down.
Yay! I hate school, but I love summer.
You don't hate school.
Yes, I do.
I am Hannah Stanley. That is Preston Stanley, my first grade daughter, who wanted to come down tonight. And you know what? We've only got a few weeks left here in these studios in Tribune Tower. And I felt like, yeah, come on down. Savor the tower.
Yeah, be the cool mom.
Carpe tower.
Ooh.
Carpe all right. tower.
Trademark Hannah Stanley 2018.
Hashtag Carpe Tower. All right. So we decided last minute because how many topics do we have that we haven't gotten to? 26. Tom, you and I.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somewhere around there.
26. We decided, and that was partly because of Harry Tynowitz. I made a joke as he was leaving. We're going to play a round of Are You Smarter Than a First Grader? And he went, no, yeah, you totally need to. And then Mark Carmen started quizzing Preston. And so then we decided to do this.
That's how radio happens, live.
It's live.
Off the cuff.
So, Tom, what we decided, because we don't have a prize.
Right.
Is that you would be the other player.
Yeah.
Because we didn't want people to actually, like, put forth effort. And then not get to win anything.
No.
Other than pride.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a long time since I've been in first grade.
Yes.
I don't know a lot of things.
Yeah. And the problem is you were helping me come up with questions. So all of those have been thrown out.
All right.
Okay.
So fresh.
So we're going to start, Preston, we're going to start right now asking Tom a question.
Yes.
And then I'll ask you the question.
All right. Don't
answer quite yet. Tom, can you list four parts of a plant?
Oh, my God. Do you want me to give you my best shot?
Yes.
All right. So you've got the stem.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the petal.
Okay.
You've got the stamen.
Okay.
I think that's...
that's it for you?
I can give you the fourth one.
Okay.
Root.
All right. Thank you, because you saved it. Petal, not on all plants. That's on a flower. That's,
how about leaf?
That's on a flower. Yeah. Leaf? Okay, Miss Preston, can you list four parts of a plant, even if they've already been listed?
All right. Roots.
Mm-hmm.
A stem.
Uh-huh.
Leaves.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes flowers.
Sometimes flowers. Okay, we'll go with that. Tom.
Wow.
Can you tell me...
Am I gonna get roasted by a first grader tonight? Yes,
it's very strange. She literally just dropped the mic. I don't know how that happened. Can you tell me the main job of a bat?
Of a bat.
Oh, I
not like this. A bat and a ball.
Okay,
even though
like
it's baseball
the
season.
Animal a bat.
Yes. Like the nocturnal flies about Batman right. type bat.
All right. So it's not delivering justice to criminals on the streets of Gotham. So I'm going to say pest control, kind of like eating insects, eating bugs.
That is A job. Preston Stanley, main job.
To pollinate.
Pollinators!
What? Oh, my God.
I studied them in school.
First grade.
1 week.
Okay. All right. How many syllables?
Nice knowing you, Tom.
Yeah, I know.
Tom's going to teach you to edit really fast after he's done. How many syllables are in the word rhinoceros? For those at home who can't see Tom.
Four.
Okay, David. Man.
David, man. Newsman, David.
Newsman,
Jennings.
David. Yeah, four.
Four. Preston?
I don't even know how to spell rhinoceros.
No, how many syllables are in rhinoceros?
I don't know.
All right, we'll give that one to David and Tom. Okay, this one's for David because he was not in the room when we were discussing this. David Jennings.
Mm-hmm.
30 cows were in a field, 28 chickens. How many didn't?
This is so easy.
30 cows are in a field.
Yes. 28 chickens.
28 chickens.
How many didn't?
Two? Oh, I don't know.
Do you want to know the answer?
Yes.
10.
30 cows are in a field, 28 chickens. How many didn't?
Oh.
He's been had.
And with that, we go to our final news break. Not news break, final commercial break, and then I will get you guys to the news. Hannah Stanley filling in tonight. I'll call it a draw. You guys are both smarter than first graders. More after this. Hannah Stanley tonight wrapping up as I fill in for Amy Goo. Thanks to her for taking the night off, but also for letting me carry you guys through on this rainy and slightly chilly Saturday night in April. My thanks to Tom Hutch and David Jennings for their participation in the show. I also want to make sure that I mention the next child that gets to come in. We will play with Grayson Stanley. Are you smarter than a fourth grader? Anyway, I want to turn this over to my newsman. If this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago, if you have a smart speaker, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn.